Welcome to the Canadian Basketball Show, your go-to spot for the latest news, stories, and analysis on Canadian basketball. I'm your host, Lee Ban Osman. On this week's episode, I'll be previewing the All-Canadian game. Players I'm excited to watch, players you should have on your radar. And on the second half of the show, three-time All-Canadian, Keyshawn Saunders joins the show to talk about his experience as a player in the Canadian system. What's wrong with Canadian basketball, maybe? The red flags parents, kids need to watch out for when it comes to basketball in this country. A real and authentic convo with Keyshawn. And after that, we'll be playing some trivia, putting one of our interns to the test on Canadian basketball. Let's see how he does. But before we get to that, a shout out to Toronto Metropolitan University women's basketball head coach Carly Clark being named an assistant coach for the Toronto Tempo. Carly spent 14 years at TMU. And I've been wondering, I think a lot of people have been wondering, when she would make the jump to the next level. And here it is. Led TMU to three Ontario titles, I believe, just recently last month. I was there, insane. Won a U Sports National Championship in 2022. Went undefeated. Insane. That was after my time. I literally just graduated and Carly said, I'm going to get it done, which is kind of sad for me. But shout out to Carly. Been coaching, helping develop some of Canada's brightest stars we see on the college level. Past few years coaching at the Hoop Summit. I've been there watching her. And the only coach to win two medals at the FIBA U19 World Cup. That's Carly Clark for y'all. Excited for her. What's next for her in her coaching journey? Shout out to Carly. We'll be all watching. We'll be all following. In other news, I'm just coming off an amazing weekend of watching basketball in the city at Humber College at the NPA Championships. Want to give a shout out to the people at North Pole Hoops for putting on an amazing show. Tarek, Cav, getting all those college coaches in the building. Joe, shout out to him. The rest of the staff that I know, Christine, Nana, y'all do an amazing job. Top notch. Salute. Salute to the rest of the staff that I don't know by name, but the behind the scenes stuff that you guys do to put on a show like that. The atmosphere at Humber College was amazing. Roll Crown. Can we talk about Roll Crown for a minute? The women's basketball team just made history. Once again, I feel like I sound like a broken record talking about what they've accomplished. They just won the OSBA championships, won the NPA championships, and the grind session back to back. Still the only Canadian team to ever win the grind session. And they did it again. What Leanne Osei, Patrick Shaw, and company have done there doesn't get talked about enough, sadly. So I wanted to pause for a minute, give them their flowers, because Royal Crown and what they're doing is historic and needs to be talked about more. So shout out to them. The final game of the NPA Championship between King Heights, Ridley College, I was there for that. A lot of the city pulled up for that. Whole downtown pulled up to watch Yusuf Ahmed, King Heights. I didn't think Ridley College had fans, but they pulled up with drums, trumpets. So like, I was like, what's going on here? This is what you guys got going on in St. Catharines? But shout out to King Heights. What a run from a program in their first year in the NPA, making it all the way to the finals, beating top teams like Edge out of Alberta, Royal Crown. And I got to give a shout out to my guy Hashi, an assistant coach at King Heights. He told me they would get here. I didn't believe. Salute to him and the rest of the staff. Nothing to be disappointed about. You guys ran into a well-oiled Ridley team. Praise Badejo. Can we talk about him? A 16-year-old star in the making. Literally felt like that was his coming out performance as a player. Excited to watch his development. Someone was telling me that might be the greatest 10th grader we've seen in Canada in some time. Insane performance from Praise. But really got it done. Victor Rasso, gotta be, in my eyes, one of the best coaches in Canada. I gotta give this man his flowers. He's won, I believe, twice as a head coach in the CBL with the Niagara River Lions. If he's not coaching with Canada basketball soon, someone's gotta see me. The way he had his guys playing was really impressive. The buy-in, the chemistry from Ridley is what made them so dominant. And there's not a player, I think most would see on that Ridley team, that is a certified D1 guy. But they're able to get it done in the NBA. So salute to Razzo. Amazing job. Nike Hoop Summit rosters just came out. Three Canadians have been selected to represent the world team. Mal Saller, who's committed to West Virginia. Savvy Swords, who's headed to Kentucky, playing at Long Island Lutheran. Amelia Krustavitsky, who will be headed to Oregon, playing at Sierra Canyon. I hope to see her play. I think she was just at Canada Basketball's U18 selection camp. And I was watching the scrimmage a bit. I think she got hurt early, had to be helped off the court. Didn't look good. So hoping everything's all right. But shout out to Canada Basketball for streaming these selection camps. A lot of people have asked me about these training camps, and now they're letting people into what goes into the national team selection process. I love it. No notes for me. Thank you to whoever came up with the idea. My guy Muad at Canada Basketball, let me know. I know you also put a lot of work probably in helping that happen and giving us an inside look. So shout out to them. Savvy Swords. Everyone knows Sila. I mentioned she's going to be playing at the Hoop Summit. She's been dealing with injuries, I think, over the last few years. So it'll be good to see how she's progressed as a player. Miles Saller, I mentioned him at the top. So Canadian on the men's side. He's coming off a Nike EYBL Scholastic Championship, named MVP of the league. Tournament MVP. Will look to win a Chipotle national title. Still insane he's not a McDonald's All-American. I'll keep saying it. But will be a great opportunity for him to be in front of every NBA scout executive. Pretty stacked team for the world. To be honest, I'm excited to watch a lot of those players. I'll be heading out to the Nike Hoop Summit on April 6th and we'll be there all week doing some coverage. So stay tuned for that. This will be my fifth straight year going out to Portland for it. A staple for me. Just a great place to get to know the next wave of talent. Now let's talk about the All-Canadian games and players I'm excited to get to watch in person. On the women's side, Jordan Wheeler at a Niagara Prep. Probably the name I haven't watched. Big name. Committed to Stanford. Played at the FIBA U17 World Cup in 2024 for Canada in Mexico. Was one of the top scorers where Canada won silver. Best ever finish. Excited to watch her. Shantae Murray from Crestwood. She's committed to West Virginia. Formerly, I believe, committed to Rutgers before a recent coaching change. Excited to watch her. Heard a lot of stuff about her from Crestwood. Amelia So, out of Fort Rio. I've watched her quite a bit. Probably the best scorer right now in Canada. Really excited to watch them. Amelia, Savvy, I just mentioned them. I don't know if they'll be playing in the All-Canadian game, especially since they'll be playing at the Nike Hoop Summit. Some players don't really do that. Like I said, I don't know if Miles is going to be playing. Who knows? But those are the players on the women's side I'm excited to see. I don't obviously get to watch a lot of what on the women's side, the players that come out, but this will be my chance to get a close eye on them. So excited for that. On the men's side, before I even get into the players, I hope the game is actually competitive. I've said this before. Last year's game was a complete embarrassment in my eyes to Canadian basketball. I know y'all are tired. Prep schools now have y'all playing NBA length schedules. But this is your opportunity to show scouts, NBA teams that will be watching, why they should follow you. Why should they track you and your development over the next few years? So please, the players on the men's side, show up. Don't make this a regular all-star game. Come out and guard. I'm sorry, you're not Jokic. You're not Luka, where you need a break. This is your chance to show the world why people should scout and track Canadian talent. I remember watching Will Riley like 2 years back. He treated this game like he had rent due. Bro had like something to prove, even though everyone knew he was the top talent. So I'm hoping someone treats it like that, comes in, slaps the floor, plays hard-nosed defense. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping y'all come with the same energy. Let's go through some of the names I'm excited for on the men's side. I'll be honest, most of the names are playing in the U.S. and that I haven't really gotten to see much this year because the Canadian names that are playing this game, I've watched quite a bit. Nice Bakari, committed to California. Haven't watched him much since maybe October when Bella Vista came to play in a game here in the city. Excited to watch Bakari play. Maxi Meyer, the big man who is committed to Duke. Duke, who just lost to UConn in epic fashion. That's where Max is going. Excited to watch him. Azeez Olajuwon, the son of, you know who, Hakeem Olajuwon. I haven't watched him since this past summer with Canada basketball and on the AAU scene. He's headed to Stanford. So excited to watch Azeez if he does show up for the All-Canadian game. Lyrus Robinson, 2027 class. He's been picking up offers left and right. He'll be, I believe, in Canada basketball training camp too for the FIBA U18. So excited to watch Lyrus. He's excited to play for Canada for the first time. And yeah, following his father's footsteps. Paul Asuri, top player in the class of 2027 from Canada. I think ESPN has him top four in his class, which is huge. Might be the next surefire NBA talent coming out of Canada. Still a long way to go for Paul, but has that upside. Jordan Charles, we had him on the pod back in, might have been July maybe. Or was it May? I don't know when exactly it was. But I think it was after he played the FIBA U19 World Cup. Led Canada almost to an upset over USA basketball in that very tournament. Excited to watch him. Yusuf Ahmed, that's my guy. I hope he had the chip on his shoulder. For a guy that was snubbed from the All-Canadian game initially. And now we announced it, was added to the list. He needs to come ready to prove that he's one of the top guys. So I hope he does. I hope he doesn't pass the ball too much. That's what I hope. Go get yours. You know, you're a great passer. We know it. Go get yours. But yeah, it's crazy though. I think it was a lot of pressure on the All-Canadian games to have him on this list. From what I heard, his people are trying to take a bus out to the All-Canadian game to go watch him play. So expect a lot of people from the downtown area coming out to watch. Miles Saller, like I said, another top name. I don't know if he'll be playing. I don't think he'll be playing, if you ask me. But we'll see. We'll see if he's there. Other names, I'm just excited to see who rises to the top. There's always a name that shocks you, that ends up taking this game really seriously and ends up getting MVP. But yeah, April 3 to April 5th is the All-Canadian Games. I'm excited about it, even though I think everyone has heard us not complain. I don't think that's the right word, but bring suggestions to how to fix this selection process. It's an amazing showcase. It's one of the staples. It's something that I mark on the calendar. I think a lot of people do when it comes to Canadian basketball. So I want to shout out the people that organize it, the people at Orangeville Prep, Gus. I know the hard work that goes into it. And you can't please everybody. But I'm just happy we're having that dialogue. And the last thing I want to request, bring it back to UFT. I'm about to travel all the way to Mono, Ontario. Really? To go watch basketball? Like, we got UFT. Come on. That is the best basketball court in the city outside of Scotiabank Arena. By far. In terms of playing, like, that is the best court. But the girls' game is at 1 p.m. and the boys' game is at 4:30 p.m. April 5th. Go get your tickets. We'll be there. We'll take a quick break. And I'll have Keyshawn to get his insights on being a three-time All-Canadian. And then we'll jump into some trivia. This is the Canadian Basketball Show. I'm your host, Lee Ben Osmond. Welcome back to the Canadian Basketball Show. I'm joined by a guy that played NCAA basketball at the D1 level at Toledo. Portland State was a three-time Bio Steel All-Canadian. Now it's Quench.
Quench,
right? Yeah. Grew up and played with some of the biggest stars we see on our TV screens, NBA stars we all watch. Recently, he also gave his real, I feel like for a while you've been doing this, unfiltered thoughts on the state of Canadian high school basketball, the state of just basketball in general in this country, helping, I feel like trying to educate the next generation. Keyshawn Saunders, my brother, how you doing?
Chilling, man. How are you?
Good. I wanted to have you on, obviously just like ahead of the All-Canadian game, because you took to Instagram. If no one saw your video, I feel like most did that listened to this podcast, go check it out. You called the game a joke. I'll be honest, I felt that way about a month ago, you know? But you played in the game three times.
Right.
So for me, I think of like, who has a better opinion than someone that was in the game, that went through the whole process, played high school basketball, went through the system, lived this reality that a lot of kids chase, want to be named an All-Canadian. It's this thing that's, I want to say glorified, but
right.
It's an aspiration.
Yeah.
It's a bulletin. What led to that video? And just calling the All-Canadian game a joke. Because I'm guessing, too, you know how much it means for Canadian basketball. Like, you don't mean it. You just meant, like, the state of where it is. Tell me about what led to that video.
I think, like you said, it goes right back to my direct experience. The first time I was selected to be an All-Canadian, I was 15, 16. And it was with the likes of a lot of talented players. And even at that time, even though I did get selected over a lot of people who could have or should have got selected within their regard, I'm a kid. I'm not going to sit there and not take the opportunity if it's presented to me. But I was still conscious enough to understand what a lot of these people were missing out on. And that followed into my next season, because I had missed that year. I think that was 2016. 2017 and 2018, I went back-to-back and was All-Canadian. So as far as the process of it, personally speaking, I was just always around my best friends, and my best friends just so happened to be very good at basketball. So for me, I looked at it as a place to see all my friends. We're all coming back from school. We're going to spend time together for a weekend, and then we're going to go our separate ways.
Yeah.
So feel like, to answer your question, understanding the inconsistencies in how that game is portrayed versus our competitors, for example, Jordan Brand Classic, McDonald's All-American. These are games that feature seniors that are exiting high school and getting ready to go to college. And for me, I feel like it's not justified. I don't think it's justified in any way, shape, or form. Like, I don't really understand what other angle we're trying to go for.
You think it should be senior game?
It should just be a senior game where you highlight like the best players in the senior class. And then to that regard, it's not like there's not enough talent at the senior level.
I agree.
There's guys that are killing that don't get the opportunity for whatever reason they're not getting that opportunity for. And that's what I think is the joke about it.
Yeah, people get mad about it every year. I felt like this year was different. Shout out to Yusuf Ahmed. He's now an All-Canadian.
Right.
They added him.
After
the uproar.
After the uproar.
What were your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I don't know why it took this long for it to be this much of an uproar. Maybe it was because of how much undeniable talent that there was. Daniel Simon didn't get selected. David Bottomley doesn't get selected. Janoi Walks doesn't get selected. So I feel like there was enough cultural impact and damage that caused to the community
for
people to want to have something to say. But again, this is not something that is a new phenomenon or something like that. Like, they snubbed Delano Banton. They snubbed Shea. They
Crazy.
Snubbed Nikhil. So it's not like this is a new thing where mans are just out of the woodworks getting snubbed for real.
Delano Banton was crazy because I talked to Delano about that. He's like, I was a last minute addition because someone backed out.
Last minute addition, yeah.
Which is crazy because that guy ends up like Bobby Webster, the Raptors front office, come and watch that game. And then they're like, okay,
we'll keep knowing that kid. And a few years later,
his history.
He's drafted literally. By the Raptors.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. That's why I'm like, I get people like myself, like you, we have our frustrations about it. But then I think both of us will agree, like, it's such a huge platform too.
It is.
Right? What was that feeling like for you when you got selected?
Nerve-wracking, but it was also a sense of, like, gratitude. I think it was just a byproduct of the work that I put in, you know. And now that I come back and I spend time on the other side of basketball and I see kids from a more generic viewpoint instead of just in the tunnel of what my perspective was based on my environment and surroundings, a lot of kids do not put in work like that. So for me to be able to be on a stage where I had the opportunity, let alone to be in those spaces, like, I felt it was a lot of pride that I had behind that, honestly.
Talked about kids not putting in the work. I feel like we're going to get into that discussion with prep schools and the dream of all that kind of stuff. It's booming. It's taking over.
Yeah, it's taking
high school basketball. Gone are the days of Eastern, Oakwood, those schools. Talking about the All-Canadian stuff, keeping on that. I had this suggestion. A public vote where people see who votes for who. What are your thoughts on that? Is it too, like...
It's too much.
It's though. Too much. You think, too and much, you think yeah. about... Because I'm it's thinking of it, like, in the NBA, when the media vote for who's the MVP.
Right.
There's a... They find out who voted for who. It's broken down. This is who selected what. And it's revealed to the public.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking of it, why aren't we just honest with our votes? What's the criteria? What's the committee looking at? And then, if you're bold enough to be on a committee like this, you should be able to be like, this is my 24.
Yeah.
This facts. Is like, you know, like, yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
I also want to know what the criteria is as far as who are they selecting and why they're selecting those players for that game.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I want to know.
The scouts that I spoke to, they do a mix of, like, production, potential, right? But then I can't speak for the rest 35 other people in the community that I don't speak to. But the scouts, I feel like, that are in the gym, that's their process.
Right.
But what do you think is missing?
Consistency, honestly. I think it's just inconsistent in terms of, again, who you're selecting. If we're here arguing over 24 seniors, we can do that day in and day out. There's only 24 spots for you to pick from. So somebody's going to get snubbed that we may feel or doesn't feel like they deserve that spot. I would not have a problem arguing over 24 seniors. But when you're taking away a kid's opportunity and experience and opportunity to be exposed to higher levels of playing and exposure and all that kind of stuff, that's where I feel like there's a disconnect. I don't feel like somebody who's 16 with a high-ass ceiling deserves to be over somebody averaging 44 points in high school basketball. What are we talking about?
Like, yeah.
No matter what the level it is that you're trying to say that he plays at or whatever it is, David Bottomley averages 44 points. Like, and they did this to A2. They did this to Ahmed Ali. And it's the same thing, I feel like, in terms of community impact versus direct production. Nobody could have told Ahmed what he was doing wasn't overly productive or outstanding in whatever regard.
Yeah.
But because of whatever their criteria was, maybe they felt like he didn't have a high ceiling. If that's what you're going to say, right? Like, maybe they felt like Ahmed didn't have a high ceiling. They may have the same kind of argument with David. But to me, it's just, bro. Get the best players or at least get the best seniors to your subjection.
And you talk about it too, like, impact, community impact. Like, Bottomley would have had how many people pull up? Same thing when Yusuf wasn't selected originally. It was like...
It was an uproar.
Uproar, because, like, the amount of seats he's going to pack... Just off of him playing and what it means for people like him from Moss Park.
Right.
When was the last time we seen a downtown kid? That's why I keep saying, like, a downtown literally. Kid, I don't know, like Mike Kabongo in those days. Like, right. It's very rare it's very that we rare. See, like, even like an inner city kid, right?
Yeah.
Very tough. Delano Banton. Like, it's very hard to see those guys get it out the mud.
Yeah.
And get it. And then he was also kind of also like a late bloomer, right? Where it's like, if you weren't watching, you didn't realize.
But we saw it today, though, in terms of impact for both of them.
At the NPA,
yep. Yeah. Everybody was there for Yusuf. Me and you were both there.
Yep.
I stayed for the game against Royal Crown. The kid had 20 in one half.
Yep.
Like,
against one of the top teams.
Against one of the top teams in the country. Yep. So, like, to me, I just think certain things are undeniable.
Yeah. do you feel like there's enough talent evaluators? Because that's when I talked to scouts when they came on the show and they talked about, oh, this is the issue. It's like the committee's too large, but then also they want to make everyone feel included, right? Region to region.
Yeah.
Like it's the all Canadian.
Yeah.
Sadly, I would say like most guys that are in the league are from Ontario and Quebec. Let's be real.
That's a you fact. Know,
like
that's
let's be real. Maybe BC Maybe has one BC. Or two. Yeah. But most guys are from Ontario, Quebec.
Yeah.
So like people getting mad that, hey, I've been trashing on PEI. I'm sorry. But people mad that there's not a PEI representative.
100%.
Like, I'm sorry. This is not going to make or break. Who is the one guy from Nova Scotia? Lindell.
Lindell Wigginton.
He might be the only one.
Anomaly.
Anomaly, right? Like, we're talking about, but they saw the talent, and he was part of it, I'm guessing, too.
He was.
I don't remember, right? So, like, the scouts will see that. Right. That's my whole point, too. But what are your thoughts on, like, the lack of scouting talent evaluators in Canada? Because there's only a few from my... But I also think, I'm like, yo, I can get... From people that I know that watch Canadian basketball, I feel like I can get 10 scouts in a room, put them there, let them hash it, and they can come up with 24 people.
Yeah.
But then there's 38 people on committee that don't watch these games.
Yeah, facts. I feel like so biased. So even if you get 10 mans to come in recruit or 10 mans to come in scout or whatever the case is, what are you scouting? And why are you scouting it? So it's like, how I see it, and I'm just calling a spade because I don't care to be involved in none of this stuff. I feel like even if you do get 10 scouts in Canada to come and recruit these kids or whatever, they're going to pick the kids that they feel is going to best benefit their personal situation instead of what's objectively and subjectively right for the betterment of the kids and or their development or their just general exposure for Canadian basketball.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of scouts that we do know or we don't know that are out here evaluating these kids. But it just goes back down to what's your intent and then what's your direct experience when it either comes to scouting or playing yourself.
Yeah. And you talked about it. Would you ever want to be on the committee? Why or why not?
No. I think I'm just too strong-minded, honestly, if I'm just being a buck with you. Like, I think I have beliefs that are extremely contrasting to an infrastructure that these guys have taken a lot of time to build, and I don't want to come into a space and come off as disrespectful to something that they put a lot of time and effort to. And then on top of that, it's like, I'd rather build something of my own, you know? So I feel like including myself in that would kind of just, in a way, be counterproductive in the sense of my moral standpoint and where I feel like I add an impact and value.
Yeah. Just like, you went to Orangeville.
Yeah.
Guys like Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Thonmaker. Ignas Brazdeikis. O'Shea Brissett. Lou Dort. Forgetting guys.
Junior Farquhar. James Karnick. Aaron Ray. Jalen Llewellyn. I'm trying to shout out my guys right quick. Alonzo Walker, Josiah Riley, Kyle Alexander, Khalif Young, Dante St. Louis. Shout out my guys. Shout out Coach Nate. Shout out Coach Jonas. Shout out Coach Keenan. Shout out all my guys, bro.
Do you feel like the talent that you saw at Orangeville, the start of like prep schools during that time, right? Do you feel like the talent is comparable to where it is now?
It's hard to say because it's a completely different system. So if I was to grab maybe the 10 premier to the most objective stance, like the 10 best teams in the country, maybe, right? But there's Trillium, there's OSBA, there's NPA, there's all these other leagues, like 100 teams that are self-proclaimed prep programs.
What are your thoughts on that?
Bogus.
Yeah.
I was about to swear, but it's bogus. Like, you know, it's just, I feel like everybody's at a disservice now. The kids that aren't at that level aren't being in a place where their talent or development is actually in fair judgment. And this is the problem that I had when I came back and I was coaching. You can have a whole bunch of kids that aren't that good at basketball, but if you put them in a gym, you lock them in the gym for however long, they're due to get better at basketball. But if the kid's 5'3", 125, what are you going to do when he has to go play against Isaiah Hamilton?
Good luck.
What are you going to do? So it's like, those kids aren't being put in positions to where they can actually evaluate and then feel comfortable and confident within their development. Then on the flip side, you have Isaiah Hamilton One game he might go against Royal Crown. Next game he might go up against Connor from Stony Creek. Like, what are we doing? And he's not going to get anything out of that either, because there's habits and things that you need to work on as a player that you're not going to get in the state of comfortability.
Yeah.
So I feel like just with the saturation as a country, everybody is very inclusive and they want to add people to the community. And in that regard, I do think Canada basketball is growing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are now submerging themselves into these communities and in these environments for them to be playing. But in the sense of, like you said, talent, production, name five mans that made the league after 2020. Go ahead.
Oh, it's tough.
From Ontario at that.
From Ontario
at that.
I'm just thinking like Leonard Miller. It's tough.
Shaden Sharp.
Will Riley. But I don't know if these guys played. I don't know if they played at OSBA. They probably played OSBA.
Leonard.
They were very young. But that's the thing. Not like the only person that played OSBA, like we're talking about OSBA regular season in their final year, last 2 years, Leonard Miller. That's the only person. Other guys left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will Riley left. Went to state. Shaden Sharp left. Most guys leave. What are your thoughts on that too, just in terms of, do you feel like the talent, you talked about like, Hamilton could go from playing one team to go from playing a completely team that doesn't probably deserve to be on the floor.
Right.
Why is that? Is it just like parents, people around just starting a prep school saying like,
there's a lot of places in the States where like you can go to like Word of God, for example, which is a public school in North Carolina. You can go there and play on a national schedule, but within that, you're still going to have your little league games where you're playing the Zachs and the Connors or whatever. My thing is like when you go to the States, they have a level of infrastructure and organization that prepares those kids on a holistic level to be ready for the next level.
You don't think that's here?
No, I don't think that's here. You go and watch a John Wall mixtape. He's playing against, mind you.
Yeah.
But he's over there killing, man. You could tell he's over there trying to take everything that they've ever worked for up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
We don't enforce that over here.
Yeah.
These guys aren't training these kids or developing these kids to necessarily be like killers or, you know, just dogs or whatever the case is. A lot of these guys are just focused on skill and then X's and O's.
That's a good point, because like I'm thinking of like guys that have made a living being a dog. Dylan, that's like his whole persona, right? Lou Dort, like that's what gets people paid. Why do you think that's gone away?
I feel like because everything feels more accessible now. I don't think Lou felt like when he was in high school, there was much options like he could have exerted out of Canada.
Yeah.
Now everybody's painting that dream to where it's like, yo, come to my school. I promise you're going to get a D1. That's what these guys are saying. Like, come to my school. You're going to get a D1. Promise you're going to come to school, get exposure. I feel like that's really what it is for real.
Yeah. Your era of high school basketball, where would you rank it? A lot of guys came out.
High school basketball. That's a tough conversation for me to have, because I was kind of the bridge between high school entering the prep scene.
Yeah.
So if we're just talking about a talent level, though, maybe top three.
Yeah.
I'll go top three. I don't want to be too naive, ignorant.
Yeah, because it's the Corey Joseph era.
The Denim Brown era.
Yeah.
Then the Tyndall era.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like your era was very, like, I don't want to blame Orangeville for the prep school. Like, well.
But in a way, you can, calling a spade a spade. Yeah. Because even though it probably wasn't their intention to do that, it obviously wasn't, but they showed me as the blueprint early.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they saw that, everyone else started running with it.
Yeah. You talk about it. Like, I think you made a video to a prep school calling it a finesse. Scam.
Yeah.
What led to that video? And did you even, like, when you were playing, did you pay at all to go to prep school?
No, I never paid, fam. I never paid. So.
Bro, that's kind of crazy to think, because it's like now, the amount you hear kids playing just to sit and rot on the bench.
Okay, here's my thing. I say it's a finesse because of what I stated earlier. Mans are telling you to come pay a fee to go to the school, and then you're promised exposure. I don't agree with that. Now, even though I think there's a disconnect as far as the development, a lot of these places have facilities and or the resources and tools to give your kids the adequate physical development they need to become a decent basketball player. Now, if you're telling your kid or telling a parent come pay 10 racks to come to my school, learn how to be an athlete, develop, be a good student, etc. All right. I'll agree with that. I can hear that. If the kid wants to pay that price, that's up to them. But don't make a school for the sake of you feeling like you're, I don't know, Rich Paul or some shit, and then promising all these kids a whole bunch of broken dreams, saying you're going to get these kids to a level that's realistically not realistic at all.
How often do you think that conversations happen where it's like these promised dreams nowadays?
I mean, I train kids now, so I've heard enough conversations through the people that I work with and stuff like that for me to understand it's a constant thing.
Yeah.
And then even if they don't have that conversation, a lot of people have these thoughts preconceived in their mind going into it. Like, yo, because I'm going to a prep school, that's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. Do you feel like people shouldn't have to pay at all? Because the top players aren't paying. Let's be real.
I mean, I think due to what the demographic of it is now, yeah. Like, go ahead. Like, you might have to bite that bullet. But it's just, what are you paying for? Like, are you going to make your money's worth? So if you suck, I would never tell a kid to pay for no, like, if you suck, don't go to no prep school. I promise you. Don't go to no prep school. If you're not averaging 20 or something or 30 in the CYBL, or if you're not averaging 40 at your regular local high school, do not waste your bread.
So that's the path. Do it at your local high school first. That's what
kill whatever, kill whatever level you're killing at to the point where somebody's reaching out to you to at least negotiate whatever it is that they got to negotiate. But if you're over there reaching your hand out, asking people for an opportunity, I don't think it's going to end up well in your face.
We talked about the number of prep schools, so many. Do you feel like it's still about, because there's programs, there's schools that I feel like are doing it right.
I do
too. The notable ones, right?
I do too.
But do you feel like for the large majority, is it still about development, or is this more so we got to cross our T's, we got to cross the check? Like, it's a business model now.
It's definitely a business model. But I'll say that to say this, though. Basketball is a business. So, like, that's just something that you're going to have to deal with no matter what it is. Even if I'm a player. Like, when I went to Toledo, it was a business. They said, yo, you're good, but we have a future NBA player coming here. Ryan Rollins fouled in. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's Ryan Rollins, bro. Shut up.
Yeah.
Hug that. So it's like, at the same time, you have to understand that there's certain bullets that you have to bite. The thing is like, if you're going to do business, at least do something halfway ethical within your business. There's too many people that are sacrificing their whole livelihoods, their jobs, their assets, a whole bunch of other stuff for the sake of their children. And I don't think that they deserve that.
Was there a moment where you thought it was like, damn, this is getting out of control? Because you obviously went to go play D1 basketball.
Yeah.
Came back. I'm guessing you're like, oh my God, what happened to, like, was that the reality for you coming back? Or was it like, oh, I think some places are doing it right, but like, what was your mindset coming back?
I came back, bro. I'm not gonna say I just came back. I started coaching.
Yeah,
I heard the prices men were paying.
What? Give some ranges for people that don't know.
I think on average, you're gonna see, like, this is for just generically. I think on average, you're gonna see anywhere between maybe 3 bands. To 10 bands on average.
So 3,000 to
3,000 to 10,000 on average. The numbers I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Down payments, curl.
Down payments.
Down payment. Like,
mortgage.
20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Just to attend a school.
1 year.
Might as well go to private school at that point.
And this is exactly what I said. First of all, if you have this much money to go to, if you have this much money to invest into your kid, I hope parents are going to watch this, bro. Get you a trainer. Get a nutritionist, get a physical trainer, get a tutor. You could do a whole bunch of things with $10,000, $20,000. That's going to last your kid a long-term development plan instead of you paying for 10 months of a school year. First of all, most of these guys aren't even giving your kids a real school system, so they're not going to prepare your kid to go to university. That's a lot of these kids' problems right now. They're not even academically eligible. And then on top of that, you might have the resources, but these guys don't know how to use their tools. And then, yeah, like I said, bro, it's either that or go to a private school. St. Andrew's College is blessed. What's wrong with that? St. Mike's is blessed. What are you talking about? Yeah. And these guys all have sports programs. Yeah. They all have facilities.
St. Mike's used to be the top program.
What are we talking about, bro? Yeah. St. Mike's is still a good program to this day as we speak right now.
Yeah. Is there a reasonable price that you're like, if a kid came to you and was like, hey, they're telling me to pay this?
I'll look at the kid and say, like, how good are you for you to be negotiating your thing? Because right now it's at a point of leverage. If I'm averaging 30 And I know Connor over there averaged 5 and he's paying 10 bands. You better up me 5 is what I'm saying hypothetically. Yeah. Like, give me a better price to play with is how I feel. But I don't think that, like, it's not really any way of getting around, like, the no payment thing unless you have some kind of backing to support the kid at this point.
What can we do to stop it? Like, because this is, like, taking over prep school. So many kids are just falling, families, parents falling victims to this, right? What can people do so they don't pay $60,000 to go rot on the bench and then realize, what did I just pay?
I think you parents need to understand and do a lot more research before you put yourself and your kids in these situations and then having resentment towards the people that are running these systems and infrastructures. Because if I'm being completely objective and logical, if I could do it, I would do it too.
Free finesse, I'll be
free
honest.
Free finesse. Why would I not do it?
I'm not a scammer though, but.
But no, but I'm saying though, yeah. Like if you can run a system that sells and it's gonna make you money, why would you not run that system?
100%.
At that point, it's your responsibility as the consumer or customer to do your research and put yourself in the best possible position. And then on top of it, it's like, yo, be more humble. Like, a lot of these people or these parents feel like their kid is the best thing since canned paint, fam.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of people in situations that they're vulnerable in. So I feel like the sooner you're self-educated and researched and then you have a sense of humility behind the whole thing of basketball in a general sense, then I feel like that's like the first step, honestly. But as far as kids not paying no more, I don't think it's no getting around that still.
That leads to my next question. Like, is there, like, I haven't heard of a kid, like, is there a viable path to not go prep school to, get a D1? Because, like, coaches are not, coaches are not watching offices.
No, they're not watching no officer.
So, like, is there a viable path without going to prep school?
Maybe if you're on a good AAU circuit, maybe, yeah. and you're killing on that AAU circuit to the point where you can just say, I just want to go to my school or whatever. But I think even just the path to D1 in itself is just about, obviously not besides how good you are, is like who you know and like who your camp is and your supporting cast is behind you.
Yeah.
If you have the right people advocating for you and vouching for you, I think you might could have a chance. But there's also not any blueprint or right or wrong way to go D1.
Yeah. What was the AAU teams you were playing on?
I played for Markham Gators. Shout out my Markham Gators guys, yo. Shout out my coaches. Shout out AJ. Shout out Bibby. Shout out Vi. Shout out Denzel. And then I played for a CIA Bounce. So shout out Mike George. Shout out Coach Tony.
Who's Simi on those teams?
Which one? Bounce?
Bounce.
17s, it was me, Joel Brown, Junior Farquhar, Simi Shitu, Ignis Brazdikas, Quincy Guerrier. Yeah.
Well, what was that like, that much talent? When you're thinking back now.
Those are my guys.
I don't think an AAU team has that much talent.
I don't nowadays. Know. Canada Elite was Canada close last summer. Yeah, I won't lie. I'll be Canada honest. Elite was close.
With Kenyon, Isaiah Hamilton, close. Isaiah Clark.
Yeah, they're getting good guys. Still. But I don't know. Like, honestly, I didn't realize how crazy that kind of stuff was until like I stopped playing. Because my whole basketball experience was just around that caliber of talent. So for me, it was second nature, fam. Like, all right, I've known you guys since I was 6 years old, 7 years old. All right, bro, let's just go. Like,
was there somebody that you play with that you're like, wow, this brother is different? I could tell there's something, he's going to the league.
Everyone I've named that like has showed me those kind of moments. Yeah. But Jamal
Murray.
Yeah, Jamal is different, fam.
What was different about him?
His approach, his mentality, and his mindset behind the things that he was doing. And like just how consistent he was, like with that mindset.
Yeah.
Like talent is one thing, but to have the mental approach and the discipline and the resilience to stay at it 7 days a week, like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, the stories you hear about his pops and what they would do.
It's different, fam. Stories. I don't even want to get into those. Yeah, Jamal's crazy though.
Like, yeah.
Jamal was crazy. Ignis was another one that was crazy to me.
Yep.
Ryan Rollins was a crazy one that was for me. And then there was a bunch of guys that I played against who, where I was like, yeah, fam.
Like who?
I'm gonna try and go in like a little bit of an order. There was Miles Bridges, Josh Jackson, Malik Newman. Malik Newman still to this day one of the craziest. You know, if you know, you know about Malik Newman, bro. Like nightmares. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Briscoe, Jaylen Brown, and then I was getting older. Antonio Blakeney, Billy Preston, Trey Duvall.
Trey Duvall's tough.
Then towards my senior years, there's guys like Cam Reddish, Darius Garland, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Bobo. Man, the list is long, fam.
It's
like, there were so many guys that showed me from a young age, because as much as I'm saying this, these are guys I was seeing throughout my stages of development. So I was always able to see firsthand or first-person comparisons as far as how good I was versus where I wanted to get. So it's like, seeing those guys from a young age is always just like, it's different, fam. It's just, you know, and it wasn't a skill thing, because skill to skill, you put the ball on the court, you tell someone to go do a drill. Anybody could do anything. It was like their mental approach to it and how they attack the game.
Yeah. What's something, you get to D1, what's something that shocked you that was like, I didn't expect this?
Mans are nice, fam.
Yeah.
Mans are sick.
Was the level just different?
Mans are just sick, yeah, bro. Like, people you don't know just come out the woodworks, give you some business, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? And it was like,
is there a player that,
bro, Eugene, like, German.
Yeah.
Eugene German, insane scorer, fam. Ryan Rollins, never heard of him before. And then even when I was hearing about him before he came on the visit, I'll tell you a true story. Mads are saying Ryan Rollins is coming on the visit, and I was starting at the time. For all freshmen of the conference or whatever, 19 wins in the season. I'm feeling myself. Oh, Ryan Rollins is coming.
Yeah, this is, hey, yo, my backup.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
What? Went home for the summer. No, I lied. Before I went home for the summer, he comes on a visit. And I'm hosting him on the visit now. So.
Get him an eye.
I'm not even, no, it's blessed. Like,
I would have told him, yo, check in, man. You.
I'm just checking his temperature. You know what I'm saying? We're on the visit or whatever. And then it just got to the point where I was like, yo, I'm seeing this guy's food. So I'm even trying to deal with it. I give it to my homie.
Yeah.
Yo, take care of him for the visit. So. After this, we have pickup. And usually what guys do sometimes, at least at the mid-major level, to my knowledge, they'll let the guys play pickup with the team or whatever.
Yeah.
Within the first three plays, found a man's driving down the middle, punch, catching the post fade,
yeah,
driving down the middle, lay.
You're like,
yeah, all right, bro, you got it. It's blessed, man. Let's come here and work together. Let's try to win some games, bro. You know what I'm saying? But like, guys at the college level, fam, you could just wake up any other day and just see somebody go crazy, like, you know? And again, I feel like this goes back down to, like, the States versus Canada. Is on a natural day, on any given day, you're going to find somebody that's way more ambitious, driven, and, like, mentally attacking the game of basketball. Whereas here, we're like, yo, me too.
Yeah.
Why not me?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those guys are trying to take it, and guys over here, I feel like we ask for it.
Yeah. So do you, when guys want to go to the States, what's, I'm guessing people reach out to you, like, what's your advice? Because.
Learn how to work hard, fam.
Would you recommend leaving Canada to go play in the States? High school basketball?
I wouldn't recommend it to a lot of these kids, because I don't think these guys are ready for that kind of level of adversity and like discipline and stuff like that.
Yeah, because a lot of people get lost. We hear about all the success stories, right? Yeah. Guys go to the States and will end up becoming, whether it's like McDonald's All-American Center, Hoop Summit, they'll go play in the NBA, that kind of stuff. But there's so many kids that go to the States that we don't hear about that get lost in the system.
Yeah, and this is what you guys have to understand. This politics stuff is not going to leave when you leave Canada. It's a continuous thing that you're going to see for the rest of your life, no matter what you do. If you play basketball, if you want to get a job, if you want to be an entrepreneur, there's going to be things that are politically going to be in your way. Like, that's not something that's going to stop. So to your point, it's like, I wouldn't tell a lot of kids to go to the States because they're so consumed within a political system that caters to Canadian basketball players, mind you.
Right.
So you're going to go to a completely foreign system where they don't care about you. They're actually against you because they think that you're in the way of what their market is. Well, my minds are not ready for that. So when people ask me, I say, yo, make sure you know how to work hard. At the very least, if you really know how to work hard, maybe you might be able to pull something out of the woodworks, because over there, everybody works harder. They all have more tools and access and resources than you. And they're nicer than you, fam, half the time. Like, so I really don't think, or I wouldn't suggest a lot of mans to go over there.
Unless you're top of the top.
Unless you're nice.
Yeah. Top of the top where it's like, I've played the top talent here and I gotta face something.
Isaiah Hamilton, get out of here.
You think
like,
so?
Yeah, for sure. Like, a kid of that caliber would make sense for him to say, yo, I feel like I want to play at a level that's a bit higher than what we have going on over here.
What do you say to coaches that I've talked to a ton say, hey, we still get the schedules. Like, we get to play on the Grand Session. We get to play on these other platforms. But I also would say, you kind of got to get ready for life. Go live on your own. No one's with you. What do you do when no one's telling you to go to the gym?
Right.
No one's right next to you telling you you need to go lock in, this, that, that kind of stuff with you on a day-to-day basis. Is that something that you're like, kids might need?
I think for me, I mean, I think that does play a part of it. But if we're talking about basketball, we're so fixated on like scheduling games to play against certain people and certain programs and being on a certain platform. When again, these guys are not putting these guys in position to actually develop these guys and have them ready to play at the next level. So it's like, I'm not going to name any school. Let's just say a regular school in Canada versus Montverde. Are you going to sit here and tell me that Montverde is going to do less or a worse job of developing a player over you? No. Mm-hmm. Like that's why people go there.
Yeah.
To develop your player to be ready for the next level.
They had what?
The schedules are like, the schedule is just like cherry on top, whatever. But they're going to go there. They're going to live. They're going to have a diet. They're going to be on a routine. They're going to practice. They're going to have their weight training, skills training. They're going to do all that with a way higher structure, level of accountability and discipline and all these other things. Aside of, I'm not going to school here. You're going home. You're going to go home to your yard, play video games, talk to Bear Gyal, probably bust up a party on a weekend. Yeah. There's just bare that you can do to get distracted. But then they're going to turn around and say that kid's playing on the Grand Session. Yeah. Who cares, fam? The kid's not getting ready.
Yeah.
So it's like for me, I was at Orangeville. Again, I'm in a dorm, fam. I'm not leaving. I'm in school. I'm in the weight room and I'm in the gym.
Yeah.
After that, we're going and we're playing on those games. So for me, I felt like I was getting ready to be at the next level because it perfectly simulated what that life was like in Canada.
But that's the thing. The weight room, you're talking about the diets. I don't know. I don't think you can name maybe more than five programs that are doing that in Canada. Maybe I'm being a bit disrespectful. Like, how many programs would you say are doing that? Like, this whole, what Montvert level? Montvert's on a different level. Stretch. But I'm saying, like, you know, like, the diet, weight room, get your shots up, free, like, access to the gym whenever you want. How many programs
I'll use an analogy like traveling. I could go on my phone right now, type in Santorini, Greece, and look at a video of it and tell you how mod it looks from my phone. Mm. If a man came back from Santorini, Greece, he's going to have a completely and way more thorough description or experience of what it was that he went through when he was over there.
Yeah.
So I feel like when it comes to stuff like that, mans are looking at NBA or high-level through a phone, seeing a whole bunch of mans say some hypothetical risk to their subjection, and then they try to implement it on these kids versus somebody that has lived it or has a longer period of experience with doing what they do.
Yeah. You talk about going to the States. Back to the Battlesteel. Sorry, the All-Canadian game.
Me too.
But 15 out of the 25. 15 or was it 14? Around 14, 15 guys that are selected for the game play in the States. What are your thoughts on that? Because then we're having a discussion where it's like the better bump, the better competition is in the States.
Yeah.
So I wasn't mad because I'm like, I want to see some of these top kids.
Yeah.
I want to see what they look like against Canada. Do you have a problem with majority of U.S. guys that left Canada, went to the States to go play basketball, playing
not
in
necessarily. Austin? Not necessarily. Like if you're a senior, again, if it's 24 seniors, we can argue however you want to argue, because at the end of the day, they're 24 exiting players. So if they just so happen to be in the States, for whatever reason that they're in the States, then it's like, so be it. Especially if we're in Canada and they're representing us over there and we don't get a chance to really see it up close, right? But I don't feel like, I don't think there's any much of a disconnect with that as far as like the saturation. Now, I didn't look into the list to see how many players are from what programs. I think that's another kind of pillar to talk about.
Yeah, would you limit schools? Because I'll be honest, let's be real, Bella Vista had 7 guys, but that's 2 separate teams. And I'm looking at that roster, I'm like, I'll be honest, I probably had all those guys in. So I'm like, I'm not
they're,
really.
They're damn near all D1.
All D1. They just came off a Nike EY BL championship.
Were they all seniors?
No. But Paul Cerruri, I got to see. Like, kind of undeniable. See him. 2027, he's considered one of the top guys coming out. So it's prospect. Like, Leos Robinson, another guy.
Yeah.
Has 20 plus college offers.
Yeah.
Like, went on a visit to Creighton not too long ago.
Right.
I want to see him play.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not mad that they had those guys in. And then the other team that they had, like, other guys, one of the top teams in the grind session this year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't get mad at this. I'm like, yo, shout out to Mike George, man. What you doing over there, you know?
Real talk.
I'm like, I can't get mad at that. But then I also see the side to where it's like, this is the all-Canadian game.
Yeah.
People preaching that. And I'm like, also, I brought this point prior. I'm like, do you got to go to a Fort Erie? Do you got to go to Royal Crown? Do you got to go to a Bella Vista to be an all-Canadian?
To be in that conversation.
Because that's what it seems like, it seems like the committee is sort of banking on.
Right.
Because a lot of these kids, I'll be honest, a lot of these kids are name brand kids coming up, right?
Facts.
So like, and then they go to these programs, they're established. That's kind of what it is, right?
Right.
But then you miss out on the other guys.
Right.
So I don't know.
It's a tough one still. But it's like, again, even if you go back to the conversation of like production versus potential, was Isaiah Hamilton not on that list either?
He should have been.
Where's the consistency if we're going to use that level of like dictatorship?
Yeah. Because then now they're like, because me, if you're not going to make it a senior game, you're going to open up to juniors. Might as well as like.
Might as well just have it as a boss up, fam.
Yeah, like, might as well make it grade 9 to 12 at that point.
You might as well just make it a boss up. Make it a Pangos camp or something like that. Like,
exactly.
Mask come, just go at each other all weekend. Now you have a larger scale of mask to pick from.
They used to do like a freshman sophomore game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to that. I'm guessing a lot of resources. You know, like it's a lot of money, I'm guessing, at the end of the day. But yeah. I think it's a miss, though, not having Isaiah Hamilton, right, in a game like this. NPA is doing an all-star game. He's going to be playing in that. Shout out to what they're doing over there. So, but yeah, I think it's a miss because it's like most guys will tell you Isaiah Hamilton is a
most exciting player in the country right now, right? Not even close.
I just seen the dunk he had put back. I'm like, I haven't seen a kid jump out of the gym like that.
And
what he did in FIBA, what he might do at the FIBA U17 World Cup this summer, it's like, it's insane.
It's insane, bro.
It's insane. Last few questions before I let you go. You were in the system, played prep school basketball. Do you feel like it has hurt Canadian basketball, prep school basketball?
Hurt in what stance?
Has it hurt more than it's helped
the next generation
of players?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
For sure, yes. I think it's helped because, again, like, a lot of people like basketball now. So a lot of people are now a part of the community as far as like just playing basketball. I think now why it hurts a lot of people is because in a general sense, there's a lot of people that realistically don't know what they're doing and they're not doing anything that's serviceable for the kids or their families. And those guys are kind of overtaking the ones that do know what they're doing or do have genuine programs or at least high functioning systems where, you know, kids can get to the next level. So I don't think in the grand scheme of things, like it's preparing Mads to have some kind of like rebirth in Canadian talent, like going to the league. Like, I don't think we're going to have a crop of Mads going to the league for a little while.
You brought up the point too earlier, like Leonard, there hasn't been like many guys playing in the OSBA that have gone to the league. Why do you think that is?
Because of what I said, though, because it's so saturated and now you're not at a place where the best talent is consistently playing against the best talent. Mind you, Tall Pines and Royal Crown play today for the first time.
Which is crazy.
And they're both in two different leagues together.
Yeah.
So because of that, it's like, how much better is David going to get up into the point of them playing Royal Crown? How much more dynamic of a defender is Kamani Walters going to become up until that point? Because he's not consistently playing against that kind of level of competition. When we were playing, it was maybe 10 teams. Us, Ridley, TRC, which is not even a school no more. Like,
how many schools are there now, you think? Can't count. Which is insane.
I literally don't know. Every other week I'm hearing a new school.
So that's my thing too. Should there be some regulation?
And that's what I was going to ask next is what is the criteria to make somebody eligible to A, become a coach, A, become a trainer, and then A, to run a school?
Anybody can be that. That's the sad thing,
that's,
right?
And that's a sad thing.
That's a sad thing. Because now I'm like, if I got the money, I can just start my prep school.
Real talk.
Just go, from what I'm hearing, is most times you just go to a school and you're like, hey, as long as you look presentable, you have kids that you can bring in, some kids that will pay, like we talked about, that can bring in cash to the school. They will literally bring
rock.
You come to school, yeah, and let you come and play there. So it's like, it's a pretty easy process. And yeah, any other pet peeves that you have?
Just the fact that like these kids don't really have anything to experience, like from a youthful standpoint at the high school level. Like a lot of these games don't have all their friends. Like it's not something that like they're enticed to want to go to. Like when I was a kid and we had Early Bird, I'm amped to go to Early Bird. I'm amped to go to Rim Rocker. Like there's things that I wanted to do as a kid because there was experiences that I wanted to have as a kid, not just from a basketball standpoint, but just holistically. I don't feel like these kids are in a space where they get to experience that on a consistent basis.
Yeah. I think this is a great discussion just on the state of prep school, All-Canadian games. I wanted your opinion because you went through the whole process, right? You're going to be at the All-Canadian?
For sure.
You're going to check it out?
For sure.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be interesting. Yeah. But I think that's the thing. You support. And you want the best for the next generation because you went through, you know what it was like. You just wanted to get it right. You wanted to improve just so like stuff that you went through, stuff that you dealt with is better for the next kid coming up, right?
And I've also seen this. When man see this, I want you guys to know I'm not saying any of these things without me putting myself in these environments before making these speculations. And to his point, I've done this. I don't want to be involved in coaching. I don't want to be involved in any kind of...
I guess you coach.
I've coached. Yeah. I've removed myself from it. Yeah. And I haven't coached since.
Yeah.
So again, I'll say it again. I don't want to coach. I don't want to put myself in any position of benefiting off of children in that regard. So everything I say is for the betterment of the kids' development, the parents' knowledge, and hopefully whoever needs to be accountable.
These are just hidden gems for free.
Yeah, free game until it's not free, honestly.
Tell me about ISO Legends. The stuff you're working on now. One-on-one league, I believe. Not league, but like you guys have been doing it for months now.
Like 7-8 months now, yeah.
The crowd that I saw was out there, was it late February, early March?
Yeah.
That came out. How did that come about? And then also just tell me about how it's grown.
So I wasn't on the starting cast of ISO Legends. That has started between a few of my other homies, so Mike, DJ, TMG, Chevy, they started something where it was kind of like just banter. So it's like, imagine me and you just bopping off and saying, yo, you can't grab me.
Yeah.
It just turned into a
classic
little game.
Old, yeah,
it just turned into a little game. And then I ended up pulling up to it. For what it was, it was a great turnout.
Yeah.
And from that point, it kind of just kept building. And Mike had hit me up asking what he thought about certain guys playing because he kind of wanted to up the level of competition to make it more entertaining.
Yeah.
When I started putting some things together, you know, over a period of time, it just came to the point of me like kind of joining the team. So I joined, I want to say around July or August. And that was around the time when we were able to get like Andrew out. We got Frank Mitchell out. On Point started messing with us.
Yeah.
Showtime.
Andrew Nembhard, yeah.
So, that's kind of where we kind of started taking off. Now, in January, Devin the Lab or Baller's Life, they went on Instagram basically saying they're coming to Toronto. And this is why I shout out K Showtime, because all he did was slid up and he told them to lock in with us. And pretty much the rest is history, fam.
That's Showtime.
Yeah, it was really all on Kavan still. So Kavan told them about ISO Legends, and then they hit us up and they pretty much said, yo, we're coming on this day. Just set it up and be ready for us to come down.
So it's like a one-on-one type of basketball where it's like up to what?
It was one-on-one, and it was two-on-two and three-on-three. So
yeah. Grand prize, money on the line? A lot of trash talking?
So this is a series. Yeah. So what it was is pretty much for us to be able to get an opportunity to go on tour and represent Toronto.
Yeah. I seen Philly was here.
Philly. I hope I'm getting this right. It was Philly, DMV, New Orleans, us, and one other city. Oh, in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
So yeah, like they all came down, and then the first day was just about proving grounds.
Were people shocked at the level of talent in Toronto?
They were.
The Philly they guys?
Were. Everybody was shocked, but it was
the crowd too.
It wasn't the talent that they were shocked at. It was just like who we are, like as a city. Like,
yeah. You brought out Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Who else was there?
Emmanuel Quickly. Jamal Sheed was there. Yeah.
Jacoby, I think, was there too.
Jacoby was there too, yeah.
What's that like seeing those guys kind of just embrace it too?
It's happy that they're actually seeing the real side of the city. That's my thing. Like, you're not just on King Street seeing a whole bunch of surface level stuff. Like, you know, for them to see the heart of the city and the atmosphere and who we are is like, you know, and Scotty embraces it. Like, that's one thing that I'll always give him. No one told him about it. He saw it on Instagram and he said, I'm in there. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He's I'm in there. Yeah. So
real Toronto, man.
Real Toronto. So yeah. Like for him to be so enthusiastic about our culture already, and then for him to be open arms with it was grateful, fam. Just honestly grateful.
Wrecking the 6-2. You did that in the summer.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks played in that. Yeah. A lot of pros also played in that too. Tell me about that and how that came.
So this is around like this time last year, or maybe a little, yeah, this time last year. Shout out my little bros, Deji and Danza. And they're just younger than me, but they're not, no, you know, yeah. Still big dogs. But yeah, they just hit me up and they had a vision to bring the feeling back, you know? I feel like for me, that's what it is. Like bringing back the essence of what Toronto basketball actually felt like and looked like, you know, from how I was a kid. Like those OVO bounce, those all these things that I used to look forward to. Even like going to Sheridan game, Humber game. Like when I was a kid, like certain things were so lit and I was so emotionally invested into. So Danzo and Deji, they hit me up saying they wanted to do a pro-am where it recreated the OVO bounce and just giving kids something to look up to and, you know, having an experience. Feel like a lot of kids don't get the chance to see high-level talent firsthand, you know? Yeah. So that was the main thing that we wanted to accomplish.
Coming back again this year?
For sure.
Excited. For sure. Tap in. Summertime.
Yeah, for
always
sure.
A vibe. Shout out to Dylan, too. Always
Shout
showing out.
Shout out to
out.
Dylan, bro.
Coming out. Always down to play.
24 hours after you get traded to Phoenix after our game, bro.
Crazy. And he probably knew beforehand that was going to happen, yeah, too, right? Because that was been in
and
the
there's
works
so many, there's so many complications when trying to
get an NBA player
yeah. And all
but
that
he's
kind of
the
stuff.
Most,
but he just did it off the strength.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, shout out to my guys.
Shout out Dylan Brooks, man.
Yeah.
He's trying, I can't thank you enough for coming on the pod.
For sure.
Yeah.
And be right back. This is Canadian Basketball Show. I'm your host, Lee Van Osmond.
Welcome back to the Canadian Basketball Show. I'm your host, Lee Van Osmond. This is the second time I'm putting one of our interns' knowledge on Canadian basketball to the test. Welcome to the show, Todd Ashdua. How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, man. I'm excited for this. So,
are you ready to put your knowledge to the test? Where would you rank it?
Honestly, out of 10, I'd probably give myself like a 5.
A 5?
Yeah.
So you're like 50. You're not even that confident.
I mean, yeah, in terms of like all-around basketball, I would say honestly like 10, but Canadian basketball, a little lower.
Okay. Internship so far, how's it been going?
Been a lot of fun, man. We've been doing a lot of, you know, fun things, a lot of great content. So, you know, just blessed and, you know, being able to be a part of it.
How closely do you feel like you follow Canadian basketball? Outside of maybe the show and just like in general.
Honestly, I feel like on a national stage, I follow it more than in terms of just like, maybe like the, kind of like the up and coming kids. So I've been trying to kind of like get more into that because obviously that's where like the future Canadian basketball is. But yeah, I would say like probably like solid.
Solid. Yeah. Wave of talent. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think we have, we might have some trivia questions alluding to maybe past players that came up, okay. But mostly people that are playing in the WNBA, in the NBA, the national team. This is, all those questions will be around that kind of stuff. Do you think you'd do a better job than Jacques, who's still yet to be tested, or Jonathan, who scored a three?
I like to hope so. I like to hope I can get better than three out of 10, but we'll see what happens.
I don't think you can do bad as Jonathan, but hopefully. This is how we're going to do it for those listening. I'm going to ask Todd 10 questions on Canadian basketball. You guys can play along with us. Let us know if you got perfect. Some of these questions are multiple choice. Some of these are not. He's going to have two lifelines. I can help him with an answer, eliminate one of the wrong multiple choices, give him a hint. So don't forget, you have a lifeline. Jonathan, I don't think he uses lifelines.
Yeah.
You have two lifelines. I don't think these questions are that difficult, but are you ready?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
Let's get started. Question number one. How many Canadian NBA players have scored 50 plus points in a game? A, 1, B, 2, C, 3, D, 4. What is your answer?
Which one was the one with 3?
C.
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C. That answer is sadly incorrect.
Oh.
The answer is B, 2.
Oh.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, Shai was one. I knew that.
He just hit it recently, October.
Yeah.
Had a career high 55 points in double overtime against Indiana Pacers. And the other person was Jamal Murray, who also hit it in the calendar year, had 55 as well against the Portland Trailblazers. You were close, though. Three. Steve Nash had 48 points.
Oh, okay.
He was on the cusp of 50. So I don't blame you for saying three, but Steve Nash was right there. But the answer is 2B. Let's get to question number 2. Who was the highest drafted Canadian WNBA player? Is it A, Elliot Edwards? Is it B, Stacey Dales? Is it C, Tammy Sutton Brown? Is it D, Kia Nurse? What is your answer?
I'm going to go with A, Elliot Edwards.
Elliot Edwards out of UConn. I'm sadly to say, Todd, you are incorrect.
What?
Stacey Dales, the legend, drafted third overall in 2002 by the Washington Mystics. Stacey, I think she does some
NFL stuff.
Yeah, NFL stuff now. So, man, I was hoping you do better than your Green Bay Packers, man. But it's looking tough right now. But you still got a lot of room. You still have two lifelines. Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
Question number 3: Can you name 5 current Canadian NCAA players?
Is this men's or women's or both?
Both. You can do both.
Okay. Cassandra Prosper.
Cassandra Prosper, Notre Dame. Shout out to her.
Toby Fournier.
That's 2 out of Crestwood. Duke.
I'm going to say Jasmine Basco.
Yeah, Jasmine Basco, Villanova. Basco. Shout out to her. You got 3.
I'm going to say Xavier Lee.
That's 4. Can you name one more Canadian NCAA player?
I'm going to say Silas Swords.
Silas Swords. There you go, Todd. You're on the board. Got 1 out of 3 so far. 33%. Yep. Not bad. I think that's like league average in the NBA around
slightly
that.
Better than Jonathan so far.
Right, so far better than that. Better than Jonathan. You got 5 Canadian NCAA players. You get to question number 4. How many Canadian NBA players are in the Hall of Fame? Is it A, 1? Is it 2? B. Is it 3? C. Or is it 4? D.
Is it just players, or is it could be like executives, general managers?
Players.
Unless I'm blanking, I'm going to say 1.
1. That answer is sadly incorrect.
Oh my gosh.
I'm guessing you thought Steve Nash.
Steve Nash for sure.
100%. Yeah. Second one, I'll be honest, I wouldn't have got this too. Is Bob Huberks, 1987, from British Columbia. Shout out to him.
Shout out to him.
Two guys, Canadian. Likely, two. This will be grown. This will be a list that will expand to five, probably when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
In the next, I don't know how many years, but that list will grow dramatically. Let's get to question number five. Can you name every Canadian NBA lottery pick in the 2020s, from 2020 to 2025, top 14 pick?
So, top 14 pick.
Remember, you still have lifelines. We're on question five.
Keyshawn George.
Keyshawn George was not a lottery pick. He was, I believe, the 24th pick in the 2024 draft. We're looking for the top 14.
Let's see.
He's a steal, though. He should have been a lottery pick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about it.
What's his teammate, Will Riley?
Will Riley was the 21st pick by the Utah Jazz, then traded to the Washington Wizards, if I am correct. Will Riley also should have been
higher,
yeah, but not a lottery pick.
All right. Can I use a lifeline for this?
A lifeline.
One? Yeah.
I will give you a great lifeline with this, okay? I'm very generous as a host, all right? I'm going to give you, there's four players, and they were drafted by these four teams, okay? We're not going to include one name because he's not really technically Canadian. The first team, San Antonio Spurs, okay? The Portland Trailblazers, the Indiana Pacers, and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
Four Canadians were drafted by those teams from 2020 to 2025. Can you name the four Canadians? This is an extreme. Okay. This is like a,
yeah,
not even just a lifeline. This is like a double, pull you over, yeah, like put you on my backpack. Like this is that type of
LeBron lifeline. 2012 versus the Celtics.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Can you get the four names now?
I'm going to say Shaedon Sharpe.
Shaedon Sharpe of the Trailblazers. Yes. That's one.
Benedict Mathurin.
Of Indiana. I feel like I gave too much of a lifeline. That was too easy.
Zach Edey
of the Memphis Grizzlies. That's number three. There is one more. I'll be honest, he's a bit of a forgotten player.
Is it Josh Primo?
Josh Primo. Shout out to Josh Primo. He was the fourth player drafted in the lottery. And then the technicality one was we were not going to include was Chris Duarte. So he was, but we're not including him. So those were the four players selected. You got that correct. Yeah. You used your lifeline correctly. You have one more lifeline. I don't think I'm going to give you that much of a help in terms of lifelines again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you simple guess. But right now you are at 2 out of 5, I believe. Correct. Let's get to number 6. Which Canadian WNBA player has the highest career high scoring game? Is it A, Kia Nurse? Is it B, Tammy Sutton Brown? Is it C, Aliyah Edwards? Is it D, Kayla Alexander? But don't let me fool you. There's some good names here.
Yeah, there's a lot of good names. A lot of talented players. I'm going to go, is it Kayla Alexander?
It is not. It is Kia Nurse.
That was my second. I was like honored. Oh, that's horrible. That's
Kia Nurse. In 2018, set a New York Liberty franchise record by scoring 34 points off the bench against the Indiana Fever, the most ever by a rookie in team history. Shout out to Kia Nurse. She's now playing with the national team, always doing her thing. Question number 7. I feel like you need this one. When did the Vancouver Grizzlies moved to Memphis? Is it A, 2000? Is it B, 2001? Is it C, 2002? Is it D, 2003? Pretty close years.
Is it B, 2001?
You are correct. Officially relocated to Memphis, Tennessee in 01. Now we're getting news of Las Vegas, Seattle, potentially getting an expansion team. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, Seattle, I think for sure that'd be absolutely amazing.
They got to keep the name.
Yeah, yeah. Those OKC Sonic matchups are going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And in Vegas, obviously, we've seen with hockey, like they have a great sports atmosphere. So,
yeah, I think some people are like, why not Canada. I think the CBL kind of made it now, like, pointless for the NBA to come back. And, like, the Raptors are kind of Canada's team, but
yeah,
that's my two cents. Maybe get rid of the CBL, then they'll consider Montreal again. They'll consider British Columbia,
yeah,
Vancouver. Question number 8. What are you at now? Correct.
3 out of 7?
3 out of 7. So you could potentially get 6 if you get all of them right. And you still have a lifeline. Remember that.
Yeah.
Question number 8. Who was the longest tenured coach in Canadian senior men's basketball history? Is it A, Leo Routens? Is it B, Jay Triano? Shout out to him. We just had him on the show.
Yeah.
Is it C, Jack Donahue? Is it D, Nick Nurse?
Is it B, Jay Triano?
It is not. It's C, Jack Donahue. He was coached from 72 to 88. Wow. At that time, I'll be honest, I don't know if they were even like firing coaches. Like, he was on for this is a long time. 16 years. Man, nobody stood up and said, hey, we should consider something else. But Jack Donahue did his thing. I think he had a lot of the national team based up in BC. So shout out to Jack Donahue. Question number 9. Remember, you still have a lifeline.
Yeah.
What is the highest finish the Canadian senior women's national team has had at an Olympics? Is it A, gold? Is it B, bronze? Is it C, fourth place? Is it D, a sixth place finish?
Can I use a lifeline for this one?
You can use a lifeline for this one. And I will say that the best finish was in 1984 at the Olympics. And the answer is not B. They did not get bronze.
I'm going to say, I know it's got to be one of those two. I'm going to say D, sixth place.
The answer is actually C.
That was my second choice.
Fourth place finish.
Oh my goodness.
That is the highest they ever got.
That's crazy.
They actually got a sixth place finish in 1976. So that is the second highest finish ever. Pretty tough question. Honestly, just to narrow the two, they haven't been close since. Fourth place finish, the highest finish they've had since is 2016 with seventh. So, hoping the senior women's national team with the players in college, that the new wave of talent can get them back to the promised land, get them back in the mix. We shall see. The last question. Do you have a lifeline still left?
No, that's it.
That's it. This is personally my favorite question.
Oh, boy.
This is a historic. This was a historic year. What year did the Canadian U19 boys team win the FIBA U19 World Cup? They won gold. First time ever, and it's never been replicated since. Is it A, 2015? Is it B, 2016? Is it C, 2017? Or is it D, 2021?
I'm going to go with A, 2015.
You are off by 2 years. The answer is C, 2017. Shout out to RJ Barrett. The greatest performance on the age group level we've ever seen from a Canadian. I don't think anybody's come close. Winning gold, the only gold in program history. 38 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists against a stacked USA team with Emmanuel Quickley, Peyton Pritchard, I believe, Cam Reddish, PJ Washington, Josh Okogie. Shout out to RJ. Emmanuel Miller was also on that team. Roy Rana, also the head coach of that team. A special group, especially when you consider that roster and how it came together. You hear a lot of stories. That team was not supposed to be that, like, a lot of dropouts last minute. But they got it done in 2017. What did you get?
Got the same as Jonathan, 3 out of 10.
That's tough. That is tough.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
What are your thoughts on your performance?
It's tough because I...
What can you say for yourself?
I had a few of them there where it's like, if I just chose the second option, I probably would have got 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
So, but... Shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know.
Shoulda, coulda.
3 out of 10.
Yeah. In our hearts, you got 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
But in reality, 3 out of 10. Do you think this was hard?
Honestly?
A lot of trick questions, I'm guessing, too.
A little difficult. You know, I feel like I was going to have a good performance coming into this, but, you know, like they always say, you know, on paper it looks good, but the games are played on grass. So
yeah, yeah. That was fun. I want to know what people got that were listening in. We're going to put Jacques to the test next. All he has to do is get higher than 3. I never thought that would be possible. I appreciate you, Todd, for jumping on. We'll see if Jacques can score higher. And I still got to come up with a prize. A prize, honestly, for scoring 4 is kind of crazy. Like, if that's what the prize is. Honestly, if you don't score higher than 3, nobody gets a prize. I am not giving anybody a prize for getting 3, for all 3 of you guys getting 3 on a trivia quiz. Like, this would be insane. But send us your questions. If you have any trivia questions on Canadian basketball and you want me to ask them, whether it's tough, whether you think it's easy, send us some questions. Follow us on IG. Leave us a 5-star rating. That always helps out. But yeah, tap in with us at the Canadian Basketball Show. Todd, can't thank you enough for joining. This has been the Canadian Basketball Show, your go-to spot for the latest news, stories, and analysis on Canadian basketball. I'm your host, Lee Ben Osman, with my guy Todd, and we out.